Chapter 3, A New Beginning. My journey to London was a very pleasant one. Even though the trip took 5 hours, the time went by very quickly. It was just after 12 o'clock in the afternoon when I finally arrived. The driver of the coach took me to Mr. Jagger's office. It was not quite what I had expected. The building was rather old and gray-looking. I went into the office and asked the clerk, "I have come to see Mr. Jagger's." The clerk replied, "He is in court at the moment. Are you Mr. Pip?" "Yes, I am," I said. "We have been waiting for you to arrive. Mr. Jagger's told me to take you to your new home if you arrived while he was away," the clerk told me. He then got his coat and hat, and we left the building. He took me to a very nice little house. On the mailbox, I could see the name, Mr. Pocket, Jr. "This is it. You can just go in and wait in the living room," he said. I went up the front stairs and entered the house. I went into the living room, and not long after, I heard someone walking up the steps. A young man a little older than me entered the room. He was carrying some grocery bags. He looked at me and asked, "Are you Mr. Pip?" "Yes, I am," I replied. "Are you Mr. Herbert Pocket?" We looked into each other's faces. He looked very familiar to me. "We've met before," he told me. "You're the boy I fought and who knocked me to the ground in Miss Havisham's courtyard." I remembered now and said, "Yes, of course." We both laughed. "I heard about your good news," Herbert told me. "I still remember so clearly when we first met. Like you, I had been invited to play with Estella. But Miss Havisham didn't like me. It turned out that she liked you more. It was actually good because she's a nightmare." "Who do you mean? Miss Havisham?" I asked, confused. "No, no, Estella. Miss Havisham taught her to hate men," he said. "Do you know the story about Miss Havisham?" "No," I replied. "I'll tell you later over dinner," Herbert promised. For the rest of the afternoon, I settled into my new room. Dinner time came, and just as he had promised, Herbert told me about Miss Havisham. Miss Havisham's father was a very rich man. He was married twice, and with his first wife, he had a daughter, Miss Havisham, and with the second wife, he had a son. The son was a terrible person, and so Mr. Havisham gave most of his money to Miss Havisham. Miss Havisham's half-brother was extremely jealous. He asked a friend to pretend to fall in love with her and ask her to marry him. She agreed and prepared everything for the wedding. However, he never showed up for the wedding. Instead, she received a letter from him saying that he would never marry her. Then I said, "That must be why all of her clocks have stopped at 9:20. She must have received the letter at that time." "Yes, that's right," agreed Herbert. "She stopped all of the clocks just then and never went out of the house again." "Well, do you know how Estella came to live with Miss Havisham?" I asked him. "I have no idea," he replied. Later, I went to bed and awoke to a bright new morning. The next day, Herbert's father started teaching me to become a gentleman. He was a wonderful teacher, and he gave me so many books to read. I read adventure and mystery stories, as well as essays, comedies, and even plays. We often went shopping together, and he helped me to develop a good sense of style. He taught me how to dress and how to behave at parties. Herbert was a wonderful teacher, too. He taught me table manners, and he was always a great example for me to follow. I was not the only person Mr. Pocket was teaching. There were two other students. One student was named Startop. We became very good friends. I found him to be very warm and friendly, and we often went rowing together. The other student was named Bentley Drummle, I did not like him at all, and neither did Startop. He had a very mean personality and was very proud and lazy. One day, Mr. Jaggers invited my fellow students and me for dinner. Startop, Drummle, and I met at Jaggers' house, and Mr. Jaggers kindly took us into his dining room. Mr. Jaggers asked, "Who are these fine men with you this evening, Pip?" I introduced Startop and Drummle. I was very surprised because Mr. Jaggers seemed to like Drummle very much. We all sat down to dinner, and the first course was served by a woman who looked about 40 years old. She was very quiet and did her work very efficiently. I didn't know what it was, but something seemed very familiar about her. Each time she came in with a new course, I closely watched her. I wanted to know why she seemed so familiar to me. The dinner finally came to an end. During the dinner, Mr. Jaggers and Drummle had a great deal of conversation. Mr. Jaggers said, "Mr. Drummle, I drink to you. You will be very successful in life." I and Startop were astounded at this. Mr. Jaggers was a very smart man, but he had been fooled by Drummle. Unfortunately, Mr. Jaggers would not be the only one. My life passed by very pleasantly in London. I learned a great deal and spent my days trying to improve myself more and more. One day, I received a letter from Biddy. It read, "Dear Mr. Pip, Mr. Gargery asked me to write to you. He plans to go to London, and he would like to see you. He will visit you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Biddy. P.S. Even though you are now a refined gentleman, please see Mr. Gargery. He is such a kind and gentle man, and so are you." Even though it was good news that Joe was coming to London, I did not want to see him. I still cared very much for him, but he did not fit into my life anymore. If I could have prevented him from coming to the house, I would have. I felt guilty because I was not kind like Biddy said I was. The next morning, I got up early to clean and get ready for Joe's visit. Later in the morning, I heard him arrive. I could hear the sound of his heavy, clumsy boots on the stairs. I met him at the front door and showed him in. "Joe, it's good to see you. How are you?" I asked him. "Pip, how are you?" he replied. Joe put his hat on the floor and took both of my hands in his and shook them for the longest time. For a moment, I didn't think that he was going to let go. "It's so good to see you, Joe. Give me your hat," I said. Joe felt very awkward in the house, and he didn't want to give me his hat. He picked his hat up off the floor and held it very tightly in his hands. "You've changed so much," he said. "You've grown into a fine young man that this country should be proud of." I felt very uncomfortable. When I introduced him to Herbert, Herbert tried to shake his hand. Joe backed away. He certainly wasn't behaving like the Joe I once knew. Joe bowed his head. "Would you like some tea or coffee, Mr. Gargery?" Herbert asked. "Thank you, sir," Joe said uncomfortably. "I will have whatever you are having." Herbert suggested, "Let's have some coffee then." Joe did not like coffee, and so he said, "Isn't coffee a bit bitter?" "Then we shall have some tea," Herbert kindly said. We all sat down to breakfast, and Herbert poured the tea. We spoke very stiffly to one another for a while, and then Herbert left for work. I felt relieved when he left, and so did Joe. "Now that we are alone, sir," Joe started. I interrupted by saying, "How can you call me sir? You are like a father to me." Joe looked at me nervously and started talking again. "Now that we are alone, I want to tell you that I have a message from Miss Havisham." "From Miss Havisham?" I asked in surprise. "Yes. Estella is home and will be happy if you visit." I felt my face burn. If I had known Joe had this message for me, I would have been kinder to him. Joe now stood up and prepared to leave. "You are doing well, Pip, and I wish you nothing but the best. I hope you prosper here in London. Where are you going now? Aren't you going to return for dinner?" I asked him. "Pip, I should return home. We live different lives now. You are very comfortable living this life, but it doesn't suit me. I belong in the country as a blacksmith. I feel very awkward here in London. God bless you, Pip. Joe put his hat on, said goodbye, and left.